want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what it's all about. Can you handle the truth? Welcome to the Thursday Night TNT Radio Show. I'm guest hosting one final time for Mr. Dale Gillespie, who will join us again next week. He will be back Wednesday and Thursday night right here on the MVM Radio Network. You know, there is a lot. I mean, so much always to talk about. But tonight, I know you guys like to listen to the national stuff, and we'll get to some of that. I promise you that. But I tell you, here in Louisville, Kentucky, we are in an uproar. And people are saying, what's so bad about Louisville, Kentucky? Because in Louisville, Kentucky, we have decided that we want to be Detroit Light. That we are the new Chicago. That we have decided that it is okay to be a corrupt politician, steal your tax money, and don't worry about being held accountable. For those in Louisville, and a lot of you listen to this show as well, for the thousands of you who listen across the network, Barbara Shanklin, our Metro Councilwoman, was brought up on ethics charges. The Ethics Commission found her guilty, recommended removal of her from office. And our Metro Council last night said, nah, we're not going to do that. There's no reason to do that. She's a good girl. Why would we take her from office? And I tell you, this is, I am just shocked. Well, I'm not shocked. I've been telling this listening audience, and for those of you who follow LouisvillePolitics.com, I've been saying it there in our articles for a long time now. Barbara Shanklin was going to walk on this. There was no doubt about it in anyone's mind that she was going to walk, that she was not going to be held accountable for stealing our tax money. But the problem here is exactly that this problem actually started before Barbara Shanklin. Because here in Louisville, we had a former council person, the late Dr. Judy Green, District 1 representative, that I personally filed charges on. I filed charges against Judy Green for a lot of the exact same things that Barbara Shanklin had charges filed on her about. And what happened? This Metro Council, the majority of which are still there, there's only two new faces on this Metro Council that didn't vote to get rid of Judy Green. One of those is Cindy Fowler in District 14, and the other one is Attica Scott in District 1. Attica Scott was the beneficiary of Judy Green being removed as District 1 councilwoman because Attica Scott got the seat. But the other remaining members of the Metro Council are the same ones who heard all the evidence and voted to remove Judy Green on a unanimous vote of 20-0. Now, for those of you who don't understand how the process works, I'm going to make it simple. Here in Louisville, our Metro Council, when the Ethics Commission comes back with a recommendation, the Government Accounts Committee, the Accountability Committee, chaired by Chairman Jerry Miller, Vice Chair Brent, I'm the biggest sellout there is in Louisville, Ackerson, they had to decide if they've got anything to charge the particular council member with. So then you had to have a charging committee. You've got 26 Metro Council members here. You have to have what's called a charging committee. At least two have to come from the opposite party. So you have to have five people of those 26 actually file the charges to get heard before the council to remove whichever member it is. So we had that. And if you want to talk about bipartisanship, I mean, let's actually do that here, because the charging committee, in this particular case, for Barbara Shanklin, were Jerry Miller and James Peden, two Republicans, but three Democrats, Madonna Flood, Tina Ward-Pugh, and Vicki Aubrey-Welch. That was the charging committee for Barbara Shanklin. The remaining members of the Metro Council act as a jury. if you will. The Metro Council president, in this case Jim King, oversees the proceedings and acts basically as a judge. Which is kind of funny, really. I'm sorry if you think about it. Jim King, who is guilty of violations of his own, paid the highest fine in Kentucky history, and his judge daughter, Katie King, actually being the chair in any criminal-like proceeding, to me, is funny. I'm sorry. You had to be here or go to LouisvillePolitics.com, EdSpringster.com, and read those stories about King. But that leaves 20 remaining members. You only have to have 14 to remove you. Well, let me rephrase that. You only have to have 7 out of those 20 to not remove you. Majority doesn't rule. You've got to have the simple majority doesn't rule here. So Judy Greene last year was found guilty of misappropriating our money. Her family benefited from it. Some grandpeople benefited from it. And Judy was removed from office for willful misconduct and negligence. Barbara Shanklin comes on board with the same charges. But Barbara Shanklin even took it to the next level. She took it to the next level. Barbara Shanklin not only asked for this money, not only helped approve the money for the Petersburg-Newburgh neighborhood group, she also served as de facto president of that group, and she wrote and signed every check from that group of our tax money. We funded it. She sent the money out of this group, which is illegal as hell. She signed the checks. She signed them and paid them. She paid utilities for one of her great-grandchildren's parent, mother. Never got reimbursed. She paid Linda Haywood, who ran an ex-offender upholstery program that no ex-offenders were involved with. Linda Haywood says she paid Barbara Shanklin back in cash. No records that Barbara Shanklin ever deposited the money. We're going to get into this. Let's go to the phones right away. I tell you what, I'm disgusted. It looks like this may be Paul. Is this Paul?
It is, Ed.
How are you,
hey,
sir?
Listen, I'm doing well. How are you, man?
Fired up.
Hey, listen, I'm kind of fired up myself. One of the things that, when you were detailing how the Louisville Metro Council conducts these hearings and all,
yes, sir.
As I recall from looking at Kentucky Revised Statute 67C, which in fact created this whole concept of metro government in Jefferson County, as I recall, these rules for this hearing are the rules that were established by the very people on the council now.
The fox guarding the hen house is where you're going, and you're absolutely correct.
So they structured this thing with the magic number being 7, which means if there is a already identified voting block of 6 who are joined at the hip, then all they need to do is recruit one person, or the way this crowd does what they do, blackmail one person into coming their way, and they can effectively thwart any removal process. Okay?
Well, the way it's set up, it doesn't say 7. It says you have to have 14 to remove. So the math says you have to have 7, and you're absolutely right. In this particular case, and this is what's really funny to me, in this particular case, I mean, you've got an automatic 5 built in. The black caucus, the 5 council members who are black, all right, are not going to vote against a black Democrat. But wait, can I use that argument? And I'll tell you why. Because Judy Greene last year was a black councilwoman, but the Democrats on the council hated her and wanted her gone. So the black council members last year voted to remove Judy Greene. It was a unanimous vote. But they didn't do the same for Barbara Shanklin, even though Barbara Shanklin went above and beyond and wrote the checks herself. And by the way, did I mention, Barbara Shanklin also admitted under oath while she was testifying in front of the council court that she had committed perjury on at least 4 occasions during the investigation last year by LMPD when she was under oath there. and she still kept her job. Go ahead. I just wanted to make sure we got that out.
Well, another aspect of their rules, there's two other aspects that bug me. Number one, their insistence that only two political interests are allowed to participate in the process, and that being the Democrats and Republicans. If you're not a Democrat or Republican, you have no role, all right? And number two, you know, they have, once again, this entire Metro Council has yet another way to keep the public from being involved, because it's not easy for an individual to request from this group that they conduct a hearing on the fitness for duty of any Metro Council person. The Metro Council has to do that themselves. You went to the Ethics Commission.
Yep.
So
that's
there
where
was
it has
a venue
to start.
For you as a citizen. You have to go through this preliminary step called an Ethics Commission. But when it comes time to dealing directly with these people in their chambers, they have put up all kinds of roadblocks, including.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, the way the system works, you have to file the charges through the Ethics Commission. That's how you start this whole process. Then the Ethics Commission is charged to decide whether there's any validity to that, those charges or not. In my case, and in every case that I can think of, once the Ethics Commission makes a decision that there's reason to move forward with this, with whatever charges you have, then they appoint a special prosecutor. They appoint an attorney to represent you. Now, in the case of Judy Green, I could have represented that case myself and saved the taxpayers $150,000. But, you know, and I'm not trying to satisfy my ego here by telling you folks this, but what it boils down to is, I mean, I spent a lot of time, you know, this is what I do. I research, I do the things I'm supposed to. I could have presented that case myself, and I didn't need to spend the taxpayers' money. But 99% of the people don't have the time or anything else to do that kind of stuff to come up to speed on that. So I could see the need for having that prosecutor in most cases. Okay, and then, of course, the Metro Council person or whichever Metro employee is charged, they're going to be entitled to legal representation. In most cases, it's the county attorney's office responsibility, Michael Connell's responsibility, to represent the Metro Council in any situation. What happens is because this involved a Metro Council member, then Michael Connell has a conflict of interest with his office, so he is required to pass it on to somebody else. And they pass that on to somebody else. Welcome back, Paul. And they pass that on to somebody else, to represent them. So that's what happened. But once you get out of the Metro Council, once you get out of the Ethics Commission has to either say the charges are right, wrong, they're either innocent or guilty, and they must make a recommendation to the Metro Council on what to do. And in both cases, the Judy Green case last year and the Barbara Shanker case this year, the Ethics Commission came back with the same charges, essentially, and the same recommendation, removal from office. This Metro Council removed Judy Green from office with less evidence that they had with Barbara Shanker, and they chose to keep Barbara Shanker. That is exactly what I've been telling everybody was going to happen for weeks now. And the reason that I went after Judy Green was to set the precedent so that we could get these people accountable in office of our spending. And I knew full well then that they were going to become hypocrites and pick and choose. This is nothing more than protecting the party and the secrets. But I have to say this up front, Paul, and I don't want you to chime in. I have to say this up front. The Democrats control the Metro Council. And the majority of those votes that are out there, you had three Democrats on the charging committee, and then you had other Democrats who voted to remove her. It's not like that some of these Democrats are just playing party politics, because they aren't. But they will be charged with guilt by association. There's no doubt about it. And I have to tell you this, too. I've spoken to probably a dozen Metro Council members today on both sides of the aisle about this, and every one of them are sick to their stomachs that these idiots like Brent Ockley, Sherry Bryant Hamilton, Harry Woolridge, Dan Johnson, David James, David Dandy, and Attica Scott became hypocrites because most of them removed Judy Greene last year and refused to do their due diligence to get rid of Barbara Shanklin based on the same thing. And I want to say this, too. I am very critical, and I've got to put this out there, folks. I am very critical of people like Rick Blackwell, for example, and Vicki Aubrey Welch, and other Democrats on the council, because I know that they're not much better. And we are investigating quite a few of these guys. But I have to tell you, Paul, I was really shocked because some of the Republican council members I talked to today, who aren't any fans of the same people I'm not fans of, told me today that they were very, very proud of Rick Blackwell and Metro Council District 14's new councilwoman, Cindy Fowler, because they literally stood up and told David Tandy he was full of garbage and jumped in Tandy's butt for working with Brent Ackerson to make this happen. They went after Ackerson and Tandy to hold them accountable for forcing this and making the council look like idiots. They stood up. So I want to give Blackwell and Cindy Fowler some credit for that. I give them enough negative, there's no doubt. But when you're right, you're right. And I want to make sure I publicly acknowledge that. Go ahead, Paul. I'm listening.
Well, I'm glad that you're giving Cindy Fowler the benefit of the doubt because she is the newest member of the council that's been elected by the people. And she actually had a really bad role model in the form of former Councilman Bob Henderson. Fortunately for her, she hasn't picked up many of bad habits.
She's only made one bad decision in my mind. The only bad decision she made in my mind was hiring that idiot Michael Bowman as her legislative aide. But go ahead.
Well, that was a party issue. And folks, some folks that are listening on it don't understand that Michael Bowman is a wannabe, and he will do whatever it takes to rise up through the party. He will do whatever it takes. And I mean that literally. He will do whatever
for
it takes.
Himself.
So,
right.
So anyway, but the David James thing is the most puzzling one to me. David James, a former City of Louisville police officer whose job it was, he took a sworn oath to uphold the Constitution and the law, basically said, Barbara Shanklin, it's okay for you to break rules. It's okay for you to break the law. I'm going to give you a free pass. Go figure.
I'll be honest with you. I was totally shocked by that, too. And to me, you know, I mean, I'm actually a fan of David James. I've got a lot of respect for David James, and I've never shied away from that. David James is a Democrat, and as you pointed out, his history, and David James is one of the most gracious people I know when it comes to a politician. And I have really been totally shocked by this vote. I have not spoken with James. I haven't spoken with him at all. That was one phone call I've definitely avoided today. I'm not going to call him and talk to him about this until I can try to rationalize what in the hell he was thinking. But, it's interesting because the only thing I can come up with is part of that black contingent. He lives in a primarily black district in District 6, you know, George Unsell's district. I mean, it's pretty much evenly divided. But David James, you know, catches a lot of flack from the African-American community he resides in. So, you know, maybe for him he felt like he had to do this for politics. But that's the problem. That's the problem, and I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping there's something I'm missing here, but I don't see it. I really don't. And when you look at the other guy, Brent Ackerson, guys, for those of you who don't know, Brent Ackerson was the one last year who made this a big issue with the Metro Council. He's the one, he was vice chair of the Government Accountability Committee last year. Brent Ackerson was. He was a vice chair, and as soon as the Ethics Commission got word of this and everything else, and the charges went to the Ethics Commission, he was livid. He was angry. I can't believe a Metro Council member would do this. And he went to Jerry Miller, the chair of the Government Accountability Committee, and asked Jerry Miller to begin an investigation. Jerry Miller, of course, did. It was the right thing to do. And props to Jerry Miller for this, by the way. But Jerry Miller goes out and does his job. Brent Ackerson is a dammit for the last year of this. And even as just a couple of weeks ago before the thing started, you know, he's all over this. And now he has the audacity to vote. he has the audacity to vote to keep Barbara Shanklin. And I tell you what's really disturbing, Paul, is how self-centered this guy is. Let's face it, the Ackerson name is not the best in the world anyway in Louisville, Kentucky. I mean, you know, his dad has his own problems, John Ackerson. He's been accused of all kinds of things, and there's not a whole lot of people that like him, as we just found out, because he was ousted from the council. And in Brent Ackerson's case, the apple don't fall far from the tree. Brent Ackerson has a lot of dirty baggage of his own. Some of that personal baggage, we know, Brent, we know, and we'll be talking about you and Jeff Noble and a few others in the very near future. But, you know, we look at this, and what's really fascinating is he sends out his own press release, Paul, and he says, "I've not been happy with the evidence that's come to light. I'm personally upset with Councilwoman Shanklin and others within Metro government that allow taxpayer funds to be spent in a manner they have. It's clear that this system is flawed, and we need to correct it." Then he goes on to say, however, as an attorney trained in the law and as a juror herein bound to follow the law under KRS 67C, he says, my job was to consider the evidence and make a finding. So he goes on to say that they deliberated and found in favor of the prosecution. They found Councilwoman Shankly guilty of willful neglect and misconduct. Willful is a key word here, folks. That shows intentional. Willful neglect and misconduct. And then this guy is an idiot. He goes on and says, the other thing that we had to consider was, do we remove? Stupidity, ignorance of procedures, misguided intentions, those are basis for finding willful neglect and conduct, but the law does not mandate removal. They had the option for that, but the law doesn't mandate it. And this is where it gets interesting, because I tell you what happens. Brent Ackerson is one of the biggest hypocrites in the closet liberal Democrats you can imagine on that council. And you can take that any way you want to, Brent Ackerson. I know you're listening to this, okay? But Brent Ackerson didn't look at the law that way last year when he voted to get rid of Judy Greene. Brent Ackerson says he's acting as a juror. Explain to me, folks, in any jury-like setting where the jury has the opportunity to present evidence on behalf of the prosecution or the defense, and I give you this as an example. When Ingram Quick was being on the stand and questioned about the expenditures and everything else, Ingram Quick is our finance guy. He was talking about procedures, and they were, the prosecution, David Tischel, was talking to Ingram Quick about the co-mingling of funds. What that means is Barbara Shanklin has these Metro Council funds that she puts in her own neighborhood development plan, and she uses those funds any way that she wants to. She co-mingled them from a grant program or whatever she decided it was with our tax money. Those funds were co-mingled. What does Brent Ackerson do? As a juror, he has the right to ask a question. Every jury in anywhere has the right to question in most cases. But Ackerson doesn't question. What he does is he goes on and tells the council court as a juror that the commingling of funds did not matter in this case because the law wasn't changed until 2011, specifically forbidding it. That is evidentiary, folks. That is evidentiary. No jury in the world is allowed to do that. None. He's an attorney. He's supposed to know that. So he violated every jury situation there is that you're supposed to follow. You tell me this wasn't pre-planned. Paul, comments.
Well, you know, attorneys are slippery people. They work both sides of the street depending on who's paying them. And I think that Brent Ackerson has shown that wonderfully.
Well, I tell you, he's getting paid by somebody. And my bet is it's the old Abramson guard. Because Barbara Shanklin is part of the old Abramson regime, and that's who Barbara Shanklin has the most secrets on. I promise you, folks, I'm not lying. When you've got dirt on somebody prominent, you're going to get away with murder. And in my opinion, I'm going to tell you this, I don't think this is very much of a stretch. I think there was an intentional witch hunt against Judy Greene. I filed charges. They were the right thing to do. And to the Greene family, I have no regrets for filing the charges and letting the process play out. I'm sorry for your loss. I really am. I'm sorry that you lost Judy Greene. But I have no regrets for taking that on and forcing that and pushing that issue. But this Metro Council just proved that it was a witch hunt. And I truly wonder if the Greens are going to sit there, and they should, contact an attorney and try to file a lawsuit against the city of Louisville, Mayor Greg Fisher, and every Metro Council member that was on the Metro Council last year for intentional malicious prosecution that created undue stress to cause her fatal heart attack. Why not? Why not? What do you think, Paul?
I think they ought to do that and hire Aubrey Williams to represent their case.
Well, yeah, because Aubrey Williams will play the race card, he'll win.
He seems to have some magic down there within the Metro Council, so why not?
You know, I'm glad you brought him up, because I tell you, I am so disgusted with Aubrey Williams, I can't even see straight. You know, lawyers will tell you that one of three things applies in every case. If the law is against you, you argue the facts. If the facts are against you, you argue the law. If the law and the facts are against you, you scream like hell and cause a ruckus. It's just that simple. And that's exactly what Aubrey Williams did from the very beginning, because the law and the facts were against him. But what drives me nuts and what destroys me and any credibility with Aubrey Williams is the blatant disregard for the community at large, but the black community in particular. When Aubrey Williams was talking, he said that the grassroots community and the black community is sloppy and slipshod because the black community is oppressed, depressed, and have too many uneducated people running grassroots organizations. He said that the black community grassroots organizations weren't the Rotary Club, the Kiwanis Club, and not the YMCA, who have all these sophisticated board members. Well, guess what, Mr. Williams? I'm a white guy. I'm a white grassroots community activist. And I promise you, I'm not a member of the Rotary Club, the Kiwanis Club, and I've never been a member of the YMCA and don't decide I want to be. But to sit here and classify, Paul, to sit here and classify the entire black community as a bunch of uneducated, you know, ignorant, stupid people, I cannot believe the black community is not out marching in protest today at being described that way, especially by one of their own. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, in your statement where you just said one of their own, it unfortunately, we do have this division. And some of this division is a voluntary division. I'm a big believer in the Constitution's right of free association. If you want to associate with folks of like mind, hey, go for it. Knock yourself out. Knock yourself out. And so in that regard, voluntary free association is a good thing, okay? But the people who are the elites, the one who create a lot of the distrust and division in this community, they benefit from that, and they know that. And it's very difficult for those of us who want to form associations with folks who may not look like us or have the same values, but we want to have a dialogue to better understand. As long as the ruling elite keeps this division active, then we're going to have these kinds of issues. You were talking about just a moment ago about the Black Caucus on the Louisville Metro Council, essentially all lining up behind Barbara Shanklin's side, okay?
Yep.
I think that is a great example of this division. We can't get past that because the ruling elite is the one that benefits from keeping this racial division alive. They benefit from it. The irony is the ruling elite is a relatively small percentage of the total population. You take western Louisville and southwestern Jefferson County, basically every neighborhood that's west of I-65. There are enough voters in there to totally overhaul the way things are done in this community.
But here's the point.
And the ruling elite knows that, Ed. That's why we have all of this division. That's why people like Barbara Shanklin, who admits that she did things wrong and who has been adjudged as doing things not legal, that's why she gets to take a walk today. Okay?
Well, here's the thing. There was two things here that were intentional. One, when I refer to Aubrey Williams as being one of their own, it's because Aubrey Williams identifies himself as part of the African-American community. He identifies himself. He goes out there and portrays himself as working on behalf of the African-American community. That's where he makes his money. Okay? And to sit here and tell the people that support him, you know, the segment of this community, Aubrey Williams made this race when he made those statements. And he went on to say that Barbara Shanklin was guilty of being stupid and ignorant. Now, here is a prominent Metro Councilwoman who's been a Metro Councilwoman for 10 years in a predominantly black neighborhood, the Newburgh-Petersburg area, and he tells everybody that she represents that she's stupid and ignorant because she's black. And that, to me, was incredible. It was degrading and condescending. Well, let me make one more point real quick, and then I'll just chime in. Because here's the other point. When I mentioned that the Black Caucus, that the five black Metro Council members banded together to save Barbara Shanklin, I also pointed out the obvious that last year, those same black council members voted to remove Judy Greene. So this isn't racist, and that's actually what I'm trying to get to. Go ahead, Paul.
Ed, you know, we haven't heard anyone, particularly the local news media. It seems that everyone has decided not to mention the fact that Barbara Shanklin is, in fact, a PhD holder, Dr. Barbara Shanklin. Now,
right. Ed,
you don't become a PhD because you are a dumbass, all right? So
well, she's an uneducated, stupid, ignorant black woman. Just ask Aubrey Williams.
This is another pass that has been given by the local media to this particular person. Dr. Barbara Shanklin, PhD. In fact, I believe her PhD is in education, as I recall.
Yep.
Tell me, am I right on that?
Yep.
But, okay, so here she's got this PhD in education, and yet she didn't realize that her arithmetic and her accounting was suspect. Come on, give me a break.
See, now you're getting where we need to go, because you're absolutely right. You know, and the fact that she couldn't recall that Linda Haywood paid her in cash, you know, and things like that. And that's another interesting thing too. Where was Linda Haywood, the star witness on for either side? She's out of town during this whole hearing. Why is she out of town during this whole
hearing? Isn't that convenient?
It was very convenient. So who sent her out of town? Was it Aubrey Williams and Barbara Shanklin? Was it Greg Fisher because Jerry Adamson wanted her gone to make sure that they could get some reasonable doubt and save her? Did Brent Ackerson trade off because Barbara Shanklin knows who he's sleeping with? I mean, knows his secrets? You know what I mean? There's all kinds of things here. And that's the problem. They just made a mockery of everything,
that we believe in here.
And that's where we've got to get going on, because we can't take this anymore. This community can't accept this.
This community barely passed this form of government, and we passed it as an experiment with a whole bunch of promises that it's going to make the community stronger and more prosperous. Well,
right.
The community has become more divided than ever under that particular model. It has not become more prosperous. We have hemorrhaged the types of jobs that the middle class needs to put a good roof over their head, a good food on their table, and in particular, we've hemorrhaged the types of jobs that allows people who may not be middle class and wants to move to middle class. We've lost those.
I totally agree.
But we've gained a lot of service sector jobs. I mean, my guidance, we have had a whole bunch of restaurants open up, and some of those restaurants are paying $2.13 an hour. You know, that's the type of improvement that the leaders here in town advocate. It's a new job. We don't care that it that you can't raise a family, that you can't even have a single person household survive
right.
on $2.13. They don't care about that. So it's time, Ed, for us as a community to talk about, let's change the damn form of government. The current form has been around since 2000. That's 14 years. 14 years is plenty of time for a new form of government to prove itself one way or the other. And this form of government has not advanced this community to the extent that everyone was led to believe it was going to. In fact,
well, we were sold merger on a lie anyway, because there was no true merger here. We know that, okay? But I want to point this out to you, Paul, because I think this is important. You know, we talked about Barbara Shankland's credentials. You know, here's some things to look at here. For one thing, she is a doctor, and it is an education, as we said. She's also got a master's degree in training and communications, but she didn't know how to communicate on the stand. She's got a bachelor's degree in business.
Are you serious about communication?
Actually, I thought that, but I wasn't sure. I knew she had a doctorate and was a education degree. I didn't know about the master's in training and communications. I actually, as you're talking, I pulled up the website at the Metro Council website and took this biography straight from her own biography sheet that she puts on her website. But yeah, she's got a bachelor's degree in business, and she don't know what to do with money. She's got an associate degree in computer programming. But here's where you get into it. This is what these Democrats are scared of more than anything. Because part of her civic involvement includes, you guessed it, she was a liaison. She was the educational program chairwoman for the Jefferson County Police Advisory Board and the Jefferson Alcohol and Drug Abuse Center. And, you know, she's very involved in, the IUE, CWA. She was a social action representative for local unions, your Democrat base. So you think that wasn't part of the pressure? Think again, folks. This is incredible to me. This is incredible to me. This is what we deal with here. So Barbara Shankland was not the uneducated, stupid, ignorant black councilwoman that Aubrey Williams described her as. This woman knew exactly what she was doing, and miraculously, nobody pointed this out. But Brent Ackerton would point out something that he wouldn't use to protect Judy Greene, but he used to protect Barbara Shankland. Go ahead.
Your comments just now kind of got me wondering about how much longer people here in this metro area are going to tolerate the mediocrity that our leadership are providing. And we're talking about mediocrity not just in government leadership, but in mediocrity in our business leadership as well. Because let's face it, there's a lot of these so-called well-connected business people that are sitting there acting in roles of counselor, if you will, to other government people, all right, government leaders, I wonder how much of Kentucky and Louisville's substandard mediocrity leads to the decision on a daily basis of a whole bunch of people deciding to say, I'm going to seek my fame and fortune somewhere else. I don't want mediocrity. I don't want the types of politics and bureaucracy that this community has to offer. And I would submit to you, Ed, that a high-profile, over-the-airwaves media person from WHAS 840 AM, I cannot help but believe that her decision to take a new job in Colorado after being here about 4 years and having a child on the cusp of entering the public school system here in Jefferson County, I can't believe that didn't play a factor in her deciding to say, see you later. You folks are absolutely incorrigible. I can't help you because you don't want to help yourself.
You're talking, of course, about Mandy Connell, and she basically admitted that today on air. I don't know if you heard that portion of the show or not.
I did not hear that at all.
Kelly Downard. Kelly Downard was a guest on her show for a few minutes this morning. And by the way, folks, I spoke with Kelly earlier. You know, he could not make it tonight. He already had some appointments, so I couldn't get him on air tonight. We hope to get him on in a future episode. But, you know, Councilman Downard was on her show for a few minutes, and she opened up by telling – Councilman Downard actually said he apologized to the public. He was so disgusted with this decision that he may never run for Metro Council again. It's that serious an issue for him. And commend Kelly Downard for that. But, you know, Mandy said, you know, when I woke up and saw that this morning, I was so thankful that I was leaving because I could not believe something like this could happen. So she's basically all but admitted that. And WHAS, of course, is going to – they're in the process of trying to hire somebody to replace her now. And I will tell you folks right now, it's not going to be us. It doesn't matter that we've got the best numbers in Louisville, and that's okay. WHAS has made a business decision to look at other people and not even include us in the process. That's fine. You know, so we'll just continue doing what we're doing, and we'll continue growing bigger than they are as we do now. But, you know, it's interesting that, you know, you bring that up because I think that is a very relevant point. And what's even more relevant is why is nobody in Louisville, any local Louisville personality, getting into the nuts and bolts of what's really going on here and talking about, one, what led to this fiasco, and two, why aren't they outing the people who won't do anything about it? Why are they so scared at every level in Louisville, you know, media of the Democratic Party machine? I don't get it. I don't get it. Some that claim to be conservative. You know, WHAS has conservative radio, right? Why are they not attacking the liberals here and showing the world what's really going on? Why are we not doing anything in depth, Paul? I don't understand that.
Well, it goes back to my contention that we have a ruling elite in this burg. And I suspect other towns and cities have similar situations. But the ruling elite in this burg control a lot. Some of it's old money, some of it's new money, some of it's political. Harvey Sloan, you know, he flew into this community, became mayor for a number of years. As soon as his stint was done, he said, see you later. You all can deal with the debris that I left behind, you know. Jerry Abramson decided that he better not run for Metro Mayor again because things might get a little bit too hot for him to handle. So he said, well, let's go to Frankfort, and he's down there messing things up. So, you know, you have to judge these folks on the basis of what they do, not what they say. And when these types of people, decide to go do their thing here in Louisville, and then after they're finished doing their thing, they say, wow, I got to get out of town before somebody notices the chaos and the destruction that's coming down the pike. You know,
well, you know,
I
Louisville
think that speaks volumes.
Well, I think it does speak volumes. And as far as Jerry Abramson is concerned, you know, and I'm going to pat myself on the back here, and you had a large part in play in this as well, but it was us that discovered the poorer, blacker, older comments, and we put it out there. We put it out there and let the whole world know what Jerry Abramson really thought about the West End community, and miraculously he decided he wasn't going to run for another term, his final term in office after being mayor for 20 years.
That
had a hell of a lot to do with
it. It is quite a coincidence.
It is quite a coincidence. I was actually told by insiders that Jerry Abramson feared a backlash from the West End community over that, and that had a large part to do with his decision to not run for mayor again. Then him and Steve Beshear got together and worked out this whole lieutenant governor deal to shield him from public scrutiny right here in Louisville. That's why he's in Frankfort. Because he was under the gun here, started because of his own idiocy, and he got caught. It's that simple. So he left Louisville so that he wouldn't be held accountable. But there's still a lot of gullible people out there who think Jerry Abramson hung the moon. Jerry Abramson was one of the biggest crooks we ever had. We've got the documentation to prove it, but nobody cares. Remember, I want the truth, but can you handle the truth? That's the problem with Louisville, Paul. They don't want to handle the truth.
And that's a good question. I think that's a fair statement, is owning up to the truth, whatever the truth is, and no matter what the issue is. It's a very difficult thing for humans to do. It's very, very difficult because in owning up to the truth, one has to sit there and do a very serious self-analysis as to their ability to discern the truth from something other than the truth. And when they find out that their abilities aren't nearly as good as they think they are, very few people can come out and say, I messed up. I made a mistake. People hate to apologize for making a mistake. They hate it. They
oh, they
hate
do.
It.
You are absolutely 100% correct.
So we end up getting stonewalled, and we get people who lie like a rug, and the accountability is a great idea in concept, but it is not going to be done because people are honorable people when they get in certain situations. What you do, holding them accountable, and what others in this community do, as far as holding these people in public office accountable, that is the only way they will ever be held accountable. They're not going to hold themselves accountable. They're not going to do it.
Oh, I totally agree. So, and I think if we ever had evidence that we needed the public to hold these guys accountable, forget about this Metro Council serving as their own court. I honestly believe that the Ethics Commission should either serve as the court itself, or we need to go ahead and create a brand new thing of volunteer citizens. You know, we need a citizens advisory board that will make these decisions and take that away from the council. They have way too much power when the fox can guard the hen house and it's all based on politics. We need a separate civilian advisory board at this point. I firmly believe that. Would you agree or disagree?
Well, it's kind of funny that you bring up a separate civilian advisory board. As I recall, there was a big public outcry for a civilian advisory board to review and then sit in judgment on matters pertaining to police departments, okay? And as I
there was.
Recall,
it started right after James Taylor. Go ahead.
And as I recall, the hue and cry for that to happen never really materialized into anything with any teeth. Okay.
And that's because nobody jumped on board. You're right. Go ahead.
So you know, I just don't think the powers that be, the ruling elite, it would allow something like that to happen, because they have to relinquish power. And then, my God, then they're going to be subject to the whims of people who are not part of the ruling elite. Oh, goodness gracious, they might be judged harshly like that, Ed.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, how hard would it be to find one citizen from each council district to represent on a citizen advisory board? How hard would that be?
Well, you're getting into a really slippery slope there, because every time a board or commission is formed in this community, it is stacked with sycophants, okay? It's stacked with sycophants.
Thank you. And I was hoping you were going to say that, because my opinion, what we need is we need a board of seven people, period. And I firmly believe that. And I think that we need a board of seven people. The three should be Democrats, three should be Republicans. That would be reflective of the makeup of the Metro Council. And we should have one independent, period. One independent. And you would require four votes out of seven to remove someone from office in a situation like this, not this supermajority crap. So then your council, then your Republicans and Democrats can do anything they want to do and go for the split divide. Even if you're a civilian, these idiots are going to try to buy you off of some kind of favor. Okay, so then you can go for that even divide. But that independent is going to make the decision. And we've got a little bit better accountability, don't we?
Well, perhaps. I think it would merit investigating, you know, and looking into something like that. But I think that the ultimate conclusion is that what we have now isn't working very well for most of the 720,000 human beings that inhabit Jefferson County, Kentucky. It's just not working very well. This bunch
it's
is
not.
In there to protect the interests of the Democrats and the Republican parties. And if you aren't a loyal ass-kissing Republican or Democrat that is basically saying, I'll do anything you ask, then you're just out of luck. Again, we've got, you know, this country was formed, Ed, by people who said, I'm tired of groveling in front of the king and queen just to stay alive and have a good life. Okay? And here we are, more than 200 years later, we are right back where we were when our ancestors were across the pond, okay?
I totally agree with you. I told you where we go now.
What happened in 1776, Ed? You know? When we got tired enough of groveling, we said enough's enough, and we went forward with a new plan. And in this case here, we need to go forward with a new plan. The only question is, what is the new plan? I myself, here in the Metro government form of doing things, I'm all in favor of replacing the current Metro form of government and going to, and you're going to find this fascinating, going to another form of county government that is allowed under state law, called the magistrate form of government. I'm in favor of scrapping the Metro Council as the Metro government as it is now put together, which, by the way, just to remind your listeners, this current form of government in Jefferson County really didn't eliminate the city of Louisville, and it really didn't expand the city of Louisville. The city of Louisville's geographic boundaries that existed prior to the 2000 vote and prior to the implementation of the merged form of government is the same geographic boundaries that exist today. The people out in the county who always complain about the city folks getting all kinds of benefits that they didn't get, they are in the very same situation. Nothing has changed regarding boundaries. The only thing that changed is that the two different governments, Jefferson County government and City of Louisville government, merged operations.
That turned out to be a fiasco. You know, as I argued with Jerry Abramson in 2006, you know, we were talking about merger when we were running against each other for the mayoral race in 2006. And Jerry was telling the whole world, lying to everybody, that Jefferson County had to have the merger because they needed the money. And I laughed, and I called him a liar once again. And he didn't know what to say because I was too educated for him.
No,
but
he
I thought
was
straight up he was lying.
He was not right. Hang on, Ed. Ed, because he was lying, he was right. When he said because they needed the money, Abramson meant the city of Louisville needed the money.
Well, I know. That's where I was going with that, because he was trying to convince the whole world that the county was broke and needed the money. The county was running a surplus and running in the black. The city of Louisville was running in the red and borrowing money hand over fist. So they came up with this pseudo-merger, because it's not a real merger, so that the city could stave off bankruptcy that they were headed for then. The city needed money badly. They needed cash. And everybody knew that after I schooled them and educated them, because Jerry Abramson was lying, you know. And that's when we found out what the real intent was. And then they lied to the people with mergers and said, we're going to merge government operations and we're going to save all kinds of money because there's too many people doing duplicate jobs. That turned out to be a lie,
and
too.
It never happened. I'm glad you're on Dale's show, the Thursday Night Truth, because this is the truth. And it takes a lot of courage to accept the truth. And I'm tickled to death that you're carrying on in Dale's role as the primo truth teller on Thursday nights on your own radio network. This is good stuff, Ed.
Well,
thank
I appreciate
you.
It, Paul. Thank you very much. And actually, we're at the end of the hour, so I do appreciate that. I'm going to put you back in the queue. You can listen to closing. You know, and that is exactly what we do here. You know, the MVM Radio Network brings on hosts that are going to talk to you about the truth and to tell you how it is. It's up to you whether you can accept it or not. You know, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday I do this show at the Ed Springsteen Show. This is my stick. I own the network. And I'm going to tell you what's going on, and you've got to decide whether you want to believe it or not. Dale the Truth will be back next Thursday, taking over the TNT show once again. He was on hiatus for the last several weeks, but he'll be back next Thursday. And Dale takes it to a whole new level. Ken Molman on Sunday night with the Liberty Unbridled show. He talks about libertarian issues and talks about Constitution and talks about the way it should be. You know, we want to inform you. And thank God there's thousands of you guys that listen to this show. We are number one in every category. We beat everybody in talk format on a local level here in Louisville. We do. And we do it with no funding. And that's where you guys come in. If you want to advertise, check us out. Write to me at myviewmatters@AOL.com. I promise you, your rates are going to be cheaper and get to more people than anybody in Louisville. That's an important step. Go to LouisvillePolitics.com. Click on our advertiser links. You don't have to stay there long. But every time you click that link, we get a few pennies that helps us move forward. But, you know, that's business. Let's talk about reality here. The reality is that our government in Louisville has just proven themselves to be a bunch of hypocritical, uneducated, or partisan people who don't care one iota about we, the citizens of our community, black and white. That's disturbing to me, and that's disturbing to a lot of people on a lot of levels. The charging committee was so upset that they actually had to put out a statement today with this. The members of the charging committee were Jerry Miller, Republican out of District 19, James Peden, Republican out of District 23, and three Democrats, Madonna Flood, Democrat out of 24, Tina Ward Pugh, Democrat out of 9, and Vicki Aubrey Welch, Democrat out of 13. They weren't allowed to vote on this, and they were shocked at the outcome. They put out a joint statement. So this makes this nonpartisan, folks. As much as I pick on Democrats, there are Democrats out there that get it, that are trying to do the right thing. In this case, they tried to do the right thing in most of them. But the statement says the seven members of the Metro Council Court weighed the evidence and made a determination that the well-documented wrongdoing and unwarranted benefit received by Councilwoman Shanklin and her family did not require her removal from office. Needless to say, we disagree with the decision, and we fully anticipate the constituents of these members will remember tonight's decision. There you go. They are begging the people to elect seven new members to the Metro Council in their upcoming elections, and their next elections replace them. I agree with the charging committee. We cannot move forward if we can't get accountability. We must have that. Brent Ackerson, you have no idea what you just did to this community, quite frankly, to your political future. To think that he can sit there and be egotistical enough to act like that we cannot remove a Metro Council elected member from office because the law does not mandate removal, yet decided last year with Judy Green, an African-American woman council member, the same as Barbara Shanklin, if you want to get into that category. Why did he pick and choose the winner and loser? Where is the consistency? And this guy is an attorney who supposedly knows about law and knows about juries and interjects himself into the case. Brent Ackerson, you just put a bullseye on your back, man. You just showed us that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And you're going to be held accountable. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you that. You're going to be run out of town on a rail, man. I expect attorneys to have better sense, common sense, and good judgment. I don't expect that out of David Tandy, attorney. David Tandy has a history of doing the wrong thing. He signed a non-disclosure agreement when he went to investigate Cordish on behalf of Louisville. I wouldn't trust that guy to represent me in a dog catcher case, no more than I would Brent Ackerson. But Louisville lost when Barbara Shanklin got to walk. When 18 people say that she's guilty of illegal behavior, willful illegal behavior, but then don't have the guts to follow through and remove her from office because she's politically connected, and that's all this was, folks. Make no mistake. If Judy Green would have had the political connections that Barbara Shanklin had, Judy Green would still be in office today. And I firmly believe she would probably still be alive. Because the stress that Judy Green went under after what this Metro Council put her through last year was horrendous. The charges were right, and Judy Green was held accountable. But they just made a of the whole process, and the blood of Judy Green is on their hands today. Now, that sounds harsh. I understand that. But it's the truth. And this show is all about the truth. There will be new charges brought against Barbara Shanklin for perjury. She admitted to perjury under oath on camera with live recording and video. She admitted that she lied while she was being investigated and questioned under oath last year to police. Perjury is a felony, and it gets you jail time. Now, this Metro Council and this county attorney and Commonwealth attorney do not like to file criminal charges, even though there's 1,000 of them every day that they refuse to file against elected members because they want to protect their party and their political futures. But perjury is one you can't avoid, guys. I'll be filing those charges myself in the next week. That's it for tonight, folks. Have a great night. Thank you so much for listening. stick around going forward. It's going to get crazy. We'll see you.
Of faith, which the Lord has taken and has taken God's entitlement.